Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. Happy Friday, or as I like to say, Fry-yay. February 28, 2020, one day away from the month of March. Can you believe that? And I know you can feel the excitement in the air right now. You know what March means. It means the biggest and best sporting event in all of sports, folks. The men's college basketball NCAA tournament right around the corner. This is when you got to love college hoops. Nothing better, folks. And tomorrow you'll get a taste of what the madness of March is like if you are a Michigan State men's basketball fan. Because I am sure that atmosphere at the Xfinity Center in College Park, Maryland, is going to be insane. And I was chatting with Brad Walker just a moment ago when I walked into the doors of Studio S, and he was telling me that the cheapest ticket right now to the Michigan State and Maryland men's basketball game tomorrow evening is $130. That puts in perspective just how big this game is. I think also I saw on Twitter that I believe Scott Van Pelt is going to be in the house for that game. Scott is a Maryland alum. So, I mean, this is huge. This is absolutely huge, folks. And we'll be previewing that matchup in just a moment. I also want to talk about a new hire. It looks as though this is going to be the guy. I'll tell you about the new hire that is rumored to be Michigan State's defensive coordinator under the Mel Tucker regime. And I'll tell you about the background of this said defensive coordinator and whether or not I like this hire. Also, we'll touch on MSU football at the combine as three players tried to put on a show in front of NFL coaches and scouts and front office personnel at Lucas Oil Stadium out in Indy. And we'll get into the specifics of what those numbers look like for those three Spartans, so you don't want to miss that. And we'll have Reflection Friday for you guys. All right, so a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call or text. You can weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR news, comment below the live stream, and you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next. We've got Jack Kerwin behind the glass, manning the show as our engineer. And we also have Megan Landon helping out with this. Much thanks to those two beautiful people. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, let's start here. Three former Michigan State Spartans. Quarterback, Brian Lewerke. Wide receiver, Daryl Stewart Jr. And wide receiver, Cody White. All tested in front of NFL coaches, scouts, and front office personnel yesterday for the first day of the on-field portion of the NFL Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium. Of course, that's where all of these GMs and scouts, look at the talent that's out there on the football field. This has now become quite the spectacle. It was aired on primetime television last night. How about that, folks? It's truly become a spectacle. So when it comes to the individual numbers that were posted from all three Spartans, Brian Lewerke, who measured in at 6'2", 213 pounds, he looked sharp during his throwing drills. He was a top performer in several testing categories. His time of 4.4 seconds in the 20-yard shuttle was the second best among quarterbacks, and his time of 7.14 seconds in the three-cone drill was fourth best. He timed out at 4.95 seconds in the 40-yard dash, which came 11th. Now, Stewart, who missed the last four games of the regular season with a leg injury but returned in limited action at the Pinstripe Bowl, he was back in action at the NFL Combine, recording 15 reps on the bench press. He had a vertical jump of 35 inches and a broad jump of 117 inches. Now, the 6'3", 217-pound White, he clocked a time of 7.19 seconds in the three-cone drill, which was 15th among wide receivers at the Combine. He ran the 40-yard dash with a time of 4.6 and the 20-yard shuttle with a 4.52 mark. In addition, he measured at 35.5 inches for the vert jump and 120 inches on the broad jump. More on the performance of Brian Lewerke, Daryl Stewart Jr., and Cody White in just a moment. Also, Mel Tucker of the Michigan State football team. He still has one spot to fill on his assistant coaching staff, which would be defensive coordinator, but he is rounding out other positions within the program. Jason Novak is the new head strength and conditioning coach for Michigan State football. How about that? Taking over for the great Ken Manny, who is a legend in his own right here in East Lansing. Also, Scott Aligo is the director of player personnel. Jeff Martin, who was announced last week as the director of player personnel, will serve as the program's chief of staff. Now, Novak, who takes over for Manny, he spent last year as the head of physical conditioning at IMG Academy. We all know about the famed IMG Academy. If you don't, I'll have more thoughts on that later on. Before that, he was the director of strength and conditioning at Central Michigan for 4 years and spent 11 years as an assistant strength and conditioning coach for the Tennessee Titans. And for those that don't know about IMG Academy, you're probably saying, why in the world did he go from pro coaching to, being the head of strength and conditioning at Central Michigan to the high school ranks at IMG Academy? Well, it's IMG Academy. Again, more on that later on. Aligo has worked in player personnel at the NFL and collegiate levels. He has coached at Oklahoma State and Texas A&M. He was the director of player personnel at Akron last year after serving in the same role at Chattanooga from 2017 to 2018 and John Carroll in 2016. He was in the NFL for more than 7 years, serving as a player personnel assistant for the Chiefs from 05 to 09 and a personnel associate with the Cleveland Browns from 2014 to 2015. More on those new hires for Tucker in just a moment. And tomorrow's Michigan State and Maryland game will be as important as any remaining game in deciding who wins the Big Ten Conference title and if the Terps can make a run at a number one seed come the NCAA tournament. Maryland at 23-5, 13-4 in the Big Ten, holds a two-game lead over Michigan State in the conference. Michigan State is 19-9 overall, 11-6 in the Big Ten Conference. Just 2 weeks will have passed since Maryland went to East Lansing where they won 67-60, and the Terps will have a chance to complete the sweep of the season tomorrow. Huge game. ESPN's College Game Day will be in the house, and as I mentioned at the top of the hour, the cheapest ticket at the Xfinity Center is $131.
unbelievable. Maryland's duo of Anthony Cowan and Jalen Smith combined to score roughly two-thirds of Maryland's 67 points when the Terps beat the Spartans earlier in February. Maryland made 9 threes, including 5 from Cowan, while Michigan State was just 4 of 19 from deep. That was the biggest statistical difference, as rebounding, free throw shooting, and turnovers were relatively even in that game. So we'll see what happens. We'll be previewing that game in just a moment. What are your thoughts on Michigan State and Maryland? Who comes out with the dub? Again, call or text 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. All right, the Wisconsin Badgers faced a steep challenge inside the Chrysler Center last night, with number 19 Michigan looking to extend its winning streak, but they answered the call in this key conference clash despite a career game from Xavier Simpson. More on Xavier in just a moment. Wisconsin shot the ball well, and three Badgers led the way to an 81-74 dub over the Wolverines. Wisconsin at 11-6 right now in the Big Ten Conference, shot 53.7% for the game. And redshirt junior guard and kin to, of course, former Michigan State point guard great Travis Trice, Demetric Trice, once again asserted his presence against a Michigan program that had its 5-game win streak snapped. Michigan falls to 9-8 now in the conference, and there was really absolutely no defense played on the part of the Michigan Wolverines last night. And that's despite the fact, I don't know if you guys have seen the finalists, the top 10 finalists for Defensive Player of the Year in the world of college basketball, but Xavier Simpson's name is in that bunch. Okay, Michigan State hockey will wrap up the regular season this weekend, looking to snap a 4-game losing streak as they travel to South Bend, Indiana to take on Notre Dame. The Big Ten is still up for grabs. While the Spartans can't finish in first place, they can still earn home ice advantage in the first round of the Big Ten tournament by finishing in the top four. Michigan State split with the Fighting Irish when the two teams met back in late November, losing in a shootout and winning in regulation the next night. Coming into that first series against the Spartans, Notre Dame had won 9 of their first 11 games on the year. The split with Michigan State propelled them into a 5-game losing streak, putting an end to their hot start. So a lot is going to have to happen for the green and white to finish in the top four of the Big Ten standings. The Spartans, at the very least, will need to sweep Notre Dame this weekend. If they are able to do that, one of two things must happen. Ohio State must lose both of their next games at home against last place Wisconsin, or have Michigan get a maximum of 4 points against Minnesota. So we'll see how things shake out for Michigan State hockey as the year, the regular season at least, comes to a close. All right, Michigan State baseball will open its spring break trip by hosting the 11th annual First Pitch Invitational at Fluor Field, home of the Greenville Drive in South Carolina. That's today through Sunday, welcoming Kansas, Western Carolina, and also Ball State. Now, last weekend, Michigan State played 4 games against Merrimack at Fluor Field out in South Carolina in Friday's opener, 9-6 in 11 innings, before being defeated in Saturday's doubleheader, 3-1, 7-5. But bouncing back to win the getaway game on Sunday, that was a high-scoring affair there, 15-14 in 10 innings on Peter Ahn's walk-off homer in the bottom of the 10th. Also want to note that Michigan State softball heads to the West Coast for 9 games over its spring break. Michigan State will play 6 games at UC Riverside, 4 as part of the Amy S. Harrison tournament, and 3 more at Cal Baptist. Michigan State will play the host schools twice and also has games against Nebraska, Omaha, Montana, Cal State, Bakersfield, and Southern Utah. So keep an eye on that action this weekend as well. All right, if you care, the Detroit Pistons continue a 4-game road trip with a stop in Phoenix to take on the Suns tonight. Detroit is looking to snap a 7-game losing streak, including a 115-98 loss in Denver on Tuesday. The Pistons are in 12th place in the NBA's Eastern Conference with a record of 19-41. They hope to avoid an 8th straight defeat after getting routed by Denver, 115-98 road loss Christian Wood and Derrick Rose each scored 20 points, while Brandon Knight chipped in with 14 points and 6 assists off the bench. As a team, the Pistons shot 40% from the field and 15 of 41 from the three-point line as they fell behind by 13 points going into the half before the Nuggets made it a blowout in the fourth quarter where they scored 33 points. And the Pistons have struggled with injuries all year, and things only seem to go from bad to worse for them as they've lost 13 of their last 15 games. The Suns have had their own share of bad luck with injuries, and they too have been struggling to find wins as of late. All right, I also want to note that the Detroit Red Wings did fall to the Minnesota Wild yesterday by a score of 7-1. The Wings fall to 15-47-4 on the year, and they will play the Senators tomorrow at 7 p.m. So they will be at Ottawa tomorrow night. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number you can call and now text. Also, weigh in right below the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
Basketball player?
Yeah.
Simpson?
Yeah.
All right, man, just hang tight here for a second.
What the hell's his name?
It's Xavier Simpson.
Isn't it?
Looks like him. I'm gonna get a little closer, but it looked like him from here, but...
That is...
Is he in the passenger seat?
He was just out there. He said he wasn't even in the car.
He wasn't in the car?
That's it.
Why was he around the car then?
I don't know. Come on out there with me in case you take off on me.
Xavier, were you in the car?
Me? No, yeah. I wasn't. I seen it coming, though.
Why'd you lie to my partner?
I'm sorry?
Why'd you lie to my partner?
What did I lie about?
Your name?
Oh, because I didn't want to get involved.
You don't think we know you? We're not stupid. You can't lie to a police officer about your name.
Okay.
It's against the law, actually.
Yeah, I know
that. We can arrest you for that. Okay.
Yes.
So what is your real information?
Dude, if you were in the car, it doesn't matter. As long as you weren't through, it don't matter. I know you ain't sitting up in the front seat. You're taller than I am.
I wouldn't even be sitting in the car.
So I know you're not driving. So I'm just saying, if you're in the car, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm just trying to find out who was driving and whose car it was. Who do you think was driving?
I mean, he's the head manager for the basketball team. He lives pretty much anyone drives his car.
What's his name?
His name?
Yeah.
His name is Evan, but I know he wasn't driving because...
Okay. Dude, you ain't selling anybody out.
Listen, I was walking the East Quad.
I get that. You'd recognize the car, so you stop.
Yes, I know it's his car because I've seen the UConn tag.
So who do you think was driving?
I don't know because he lets anyone use his car from anyone on the basketball team, from the baseball team. This is not like a car that...
Where can I find Evan at? Where would he be at right now?
I don't think Evan was here. I think he was with some girl.
Where's the girl?
I don't know.
Dude, that seat is so far up, like some... chick was probably sitting in there.
Okay. That's some comedy to start this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. First off, I want to say thank goodness nobody was hurt in that vehicle. If you're a bit puzzled as to what in the world is happening here, well, the Ann Arbor police released the body cam footage. That's roughly 6 minutes and some change, centered on the Xavier Simpson car accident that I believe just led to like a one-game suspension for Xavier for quote-unquote violating team rules. And it was reported that he was involved in some accident. He gave the cops a false name, Jeff Jackson Simpson, and said that, look, I witnessed it, but, you know, I don't know who was driving. I don't know. It wasn't me. And that's the actual audio from the body cam footage, which is so, let's just be real. It's comical on so many different levels. And it just goes to show. I mean, you know, young men, we do some stupid things, don't we, when we're young? You know, Xavier Simpson, yeah, he is a grown man when it comes to the letter of the law. But don't sit there and listen to that. I mean, Xavier Simpson, I believe, is like 23 years old. You can't tell me that you didn't do some stupid things when you were 23 years old, all right? Probably not on this level, probably not of this magnitude. But, you know, the young man panicked. Here's what I think happened here, Jack. This is what I think happened. When I looked at and was cutting up that audio for today's show, when I was looking at the body cam footage, you know, you could see that the seat was clearly brought up, you know, for whoever was driving that vehicle. All right. And what I believe happened is what exactly you heard to close out that snippet there. And the cops, this is what they theorized. At least that's what I grasped from the ending of that body cam footage, is that there was a young woman, maybe somebody that he was dating, who was driving the vehicle. In order to save her from any kind of negative future, he told her to just go out and run. I'll handle this and try and play it off. He wouldn't give up who was in that car. I'm thinking it was his girlfriend that was driving, or a girl he was dating was driving. The seat was clearly up, really close to the steering wheel. You know, it's impossible that Xavier Simpson could have driven the vehicle with the seat that far up. Or you could say to yourself, well, Al, he probably brought the seat up to make it look like somebody else was driving. You could theorize that as well, but I don't think Xavier in that moment was that smart. I think he looked panicked. And if you don't think he looked panicked, giving the cops a name such as Jeff Jackson Simpson, he panicked. He was in total panic mode. So I don't think in the heat of that moment he said, oh, let me bring the seat up and make it look like somebody else is behind the wheel. I think he was in that vehicle. He was with a young woman who didn't want to get in trouble. And he made it look like, hey, I was just witnessing this. So don't lie to the police, especially when you are one of the faces for a pretty popular team in a city like the University of Michigan men's basketball program. I mean, you are the starting guard. Lying to police like that, and you can hear it in the audio, what's so comical is that when the policeman takes out his notepad and he says, all right, what's your name? You can see Xavier looking down, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, oh, here's the moment. He's trying to think up a name right now. He's like, all right, first name, Jeff. What's your middle name? Jackson. And then the last name, Simpson. And he's like, oh, like the basketball player, Simpson. He's like, yeah. And then he goes to his vehicle, the cop does, where his fellow police officer is sitting there, and his fellow police officer is sitting there like, man, that looks like Xavier Simpson. And the other cop is like, really, yeah? And he takes out his phone. You can see the cop take out his phone and Google Xavier Simpson, pull up Xavier's picture, show it to the other cop like, yeah, that's Xavier Simpson. And then the other cop, the immediate audio you heard after that was the other cop getting out the car and then basically calling Jeff Jackson's bluff and saying, hey, Xavier. And you hear, you see Xavier say, huh? You mean me? He's like, dude, I mean, well, why'd you lie? And he's like, all right, you got me, basically. He's like, you got me. You got me. Yeah, I'm Xavier. You know, you can, you know, it's against the law, lying to the police. Yeah, I'm sorry. I panicked, blah, blah, blah. Paraphrasing, but you get the message. Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. So, you know, and, you know, what's so comical is, for me, the funniest part of that is the cops going to the car. The cop, the one cop who got the name, going to the car, and he's like, he gets the message from his partner, like, oh, I think that's Xavier Simpson. He's like, really? Then you see the phone Googling happen, and then boom. Oh, boy. So it seemed to me like, Jack, again, I'm just guessing here, but I believe he was trying to protect whatever young woman was with him in that car. That's my theory. But I also think you can, I don't think Xavier was that smart to say, all right, let me bring up the seat here and then get out and then act like I'm walking down the street. I don't think he was that smart in that moment. I think there was a young lady involved here, but she got out and ran before the cops got on the scene. That's just my theory here.
That's an interesting theory. I'm going to keep my theory to myself on this one so that I don't, like, so that this doesn't become like a news story that I said something without any proof. So I'm just going to leave my my theory to myself.
Good.
How about
good.
That? Yeah.
That's good. That's good. But what we do know is that, you know, when it comes to the vehicle, it was a vehicle that was owned by Chrislyn Manuel, who is the wife of Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel. So apparently Evan, who is their son, Evan drives the vehicle, and apparently according to Xavier Simpson, I mean, everybody drives the vehicle. I mean, he says that, you know, anybody can drive that car. And he's like, from baseball players to, you know, basketball players to the hockey team to the lacrosse team. You know, I'm exaggerating here, but you get the drift. So that's who the vehicle belonged to. We have not heard from Ward Manuel concerning this, but man, oh man, is Twitter having some fun with this story? I mean, Michigan fans are not happy, and they are annoyed by this negative press. And yeah, bottom line, though, you know, don't lie to the police. Don't lie to the cops. They can arrest you for that. If you haven't seen the body cam footage, it is certainly worth a look. All right, I'm again, and I say all that, and I close it out by saying, just like I began this segment, by saying that I'm glad nobody was hurt. Nobody was hurt. But man, oh man, do young kids just do stupid things. All right. As we proceed here on WKAR's Current Sports, and if you have any thoughts on Xavier Simpson's body cam footage, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. There is another story that is pretty hot in the state of Michigan, specifically when discussing Michigan State football, and it is the possibility that Michigan State has found its defensive coordinator. Yeah. I saw this news, yesterday evening, making the rounds on Twitter. It has not been confirmed yet. Let me just check my email real briefly here. Let me just hit refresh to make sure I didn't get any alerts from Michigan State Athletics. Oh, I do have one alert from Michigan State Athletics, which I should probably pass along to you all. The date of the second annual Izzo Legacy 5K run/walk/roll has officially been set for Saturday, April 18th. So that news just hit my email. So I want to pass that along. But no email with any more official news concerning hirings for the Michigan State football team. But this is out there. It is being reported, and I saw this from Riley Gates, who is a reporter covering Kansas State football, basketball, and recruiting, again, for Kansas State. And, you know, he also contributes to 247 Sports. I believe that's who he writes for, and he's also a USBWA member. But Riley reported that his sources have confirmed that Scotty Hazleton is expected to accept a job on Mel Tucker's staff as Mel Tucker's defensive coordinator for the Michigan State football team. Again, Kansas State's Scotty Hazleton, according to Riley Gates, who covers Kansas State football, Scotty Hazleton will be MSU football's newest defensive coordinator. So, you know, if this is true, and again, I do want to let you guys know this. It's important to note that Hazleton has apparently interviewed with Michigan State, as Gates reports. No deal has been reached, and he has not officially accepted the position. All right, I want to let that be known. But this is coming from a pretty credible source here that Scotty Hazleton is going to be the guy to man the Michigan State defense come next season. Kansas State is, quote, anticipating Hazleton to take the job, and the school, quote, can't match Michigan State's offer. Hazleton made $550,000 with the Wildcats last year. Mike Tressel made $725,000 as defensive coordinator for the Spartans back in 2019. So I think it's safe to say that you can expect Hazleton's salary to exceed what Mike Tressel was getting paid. Hazleton is going to make somewhere close to a mil, if I had to guess, when it comes to signing on to be Michigan State's D coordinator. And if this is true, you know, when I saw this again, when I saw this reported yesterday evening, I like this hire. I like this hire a lot. First off, I mean, if you haven't seen a picture of Scotty Hazleton, yo, shout out to his beard. I mean, that's one strong, healthy, gray beard right there. I mean, he's rocking it tough, man. That's a cool look. I'm pretty sure I can see Spartan fans right now showing up to Spartan Stadium, like rocking, you know, salt and pepper fake beards in the crowd in support of Scotty Hazleton. It's a pretty dope beard. I could not grow out a beard. I have a beard myself, but I don't think I could grow it out that thick. So shout out to the look. I like the look of Scotty Hazleton. It's pretty cool. But, you know, when it comes to what Hazleton has done, I mean, it's pretty impressive. You know, K-State turned around its defense in 2019. The Wildcats ranked second in the Big 12 and 34th nationally, giving up just 21.4 points per game. K-State had allowed more than 25.4 points per game in 2018. They ranked 30th in the NCAA in the Football Outsiders Defensive FEI, which is some, like, efficiency, you know, crazy specific efficiency index. So that's pretty good. And 47th in ESPN's final SP Plus ratings. So that's pretty good. He has improved Kansas State's defense. And also, he improved KSU's total defense, giving up 403.4 yards per game in 2018 compared to just 368 yards per game in 2019. Pass defense was pretty strong, giving up just 202.9 yards per game, second in the conference, 33rd overall. The rushing numbers weren't as impressive, as the Wildcats did give up 165.5 yards per game there and ranked toward the bottom of the Big 12. But still, an improvement last season in comparison to 2018. So prior to his stint in Kansas, Hazleton had a successful run at Wyoming in 2017 and 2018, where he actually led the school to back-to-back top 25 finishes in total defense. Very impressive there. And also top 30 finishes in scoring defense, including a ranking of ninth in 2017. And he's got some NFL experience as well, which is always a plus. I always say that, you know, because a lot of these big-time college athletes, I mean, they're trying to make it to the next level. They're trying to make it to the pros. So any coach who has some NFL experience, it is a bonus. It is a plus. And Hazleton definitely has that. He worked as an assistant linebackers coach under Gus Bradley for the Jacksonville Jaguars from 2014 to 2016. In 2016, he helped coach a defensive unit that ranked in the top 10 in the NFL in points allowed, total yards allowed, and passing yards allowed. He's worked also as Nevada's defensive coordinator in 2013, USC's linebackers coach in 2012. From 07 to 2011, he was with North Dakota State, starting out as a defensive line coach and then D coordinator and linebackers coach. He also was a grad assistant in 2000 to 2001. So, I mean, the dude looks like he's in his 60s, but he's like 45, 46 years old, I believe, because of that beard. but I think this is a great hire. And if there's a common theme, when looking at all of Mel Tucker's personnel in his cabinet right now, if there is a common theme that you hear with just about every one of his guys, it's that they are great recruiters. And that's what you need if you want to compete on the elite level of college football. You got to have guys who can go out there and snag a few big fishes from time to time. And what I'm hearing from a lot of these guys on Mel Tucker's staff, including, if again, just waiting on the confirmation here, the official confirmation, Scotty Hazleton from Kansas State, all these guys are known to be very good recruiters. So that's absolutely fantastic. And just a quick note when it comes to Jason Novak, and, you know, like I mentioned in the headliners, Jason Novak, who is the new head of strength and conditioning, and also Scott Aligo, who is now the director of player personnel. Novak, and I think, you know, Jack, this is one of the most underrated things, I think, in college football that a lot of people don't think about. Just how important a strength and conditioning coach is to a college football team. You know, Ken Manny being here and developing all of these fantastic athletes who have played under, you know, Mark D'Antonio and the coaches prior to him. I mean, Ken Manny is such a staple to Michigan State football. And there is this unbelievable relationship that is developed with the players and whoever the director of strength and conditioning is. And you'll see that at programs across the board. In order to win games, and when looking at successful programs, they usually have a really good strength and conditioning coach. It is a solid foundation that you need when it comes to any great college football program. I truly believe that. And it really didn't hit me how important that is until I really got to know Ken Manny over time here at Michigan State University. You know, Ken Manny was one of my very first guests when we had Current Sports TV, and getting to know him and seeing how he operates and seeing the relationship that he builds with his players, it is so important. And developing the bodies of these young men who come from high school to a Division I college football program, that is very important, especially when you talk about injuries in the game today. So it's so important to have a good strength and conditioning guy. And when it comes to Jason Novak, I mentioned how, you know, he has a history with the famed IMG Academy out in beautiful, sunny Florida. IMG Academy, if you don't know, they churn out the elite talent when it comes to high school sports. I mean, I saw something crazy. Like last month, I was reading about IMG Academy. And if you were to take the prospects of this past year alone, collectively, that recruiting class would have been ranked as the number 14th class in all of college football. Those high school players alone at IMG alone, 14th. The year prior to, they would have been ranked 9th in the nation. And the year prior to that, 8th in the nation. So it's not like, you know, you got to put this in perspective. It's not, you know, there's a reason Jason Novak went from the NFL to CMU and then high school. This isn't your ordinary high school, all right? This is IMG Academy. And hopefully, Coach Novak can possibly pluck a few players from IMG Academy for Michigan State. That's the hope, right? But that is fantastic. If you have a history at being at IMG Academy, that's fantastic. So I really, really like that move. All right. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'll get the thoughts of Jack Kerwin if he wants to weigh in on any of that. You know, Jack, I don't know if you like, you know, what Scotty Hazleton has done at K-State. He's giving me the thumbs up, so yes. And then also the other two hirings for MSU football and Coach Novak and Aligo. So we'll go behind the glass for a moment with Jack, and then we'll preview what is an absolutely huge men's college basketball game tomorrow out in College Park at the Xfinity Center, Maryland and Michigan State. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Also, shameless plug here. You guys know I love to pub good music when I run into it from time to time. Honestly, in 2020, it's hard to find good music. But if you do not know who D Smoke is, he's the next great thing in hip-hop, if you ask me. Apparently, he won that hip-hop show with Chance the Rapper and Cardi B and T.I. on Netflix. Check out D Smoke's new album entitled Bad Habits. Just hit play, let it ride, and your ears will be pleased for a while. Amazing, amazing album. I've been listening to it. I can't stop. I mean, I was prepping for the show since this morning listening to it, and it's amazing. He gives you Kendrick Lamar vibes. All right. Behind the glass real quick here, Jack Kerwin, what are your thoughts on Scotty Hazleton? We were just joking about his beard during that first break.
It's majestic. It's incredible.
It really is. It's great. This is outstanding. Be great branding. You got to make some T-shirts with that beard on it.
I'd buy one.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, right.
It's awesome. But what do you think of the Scotty Hazleton possible hire? Again, it's not official just yet. And also, you know, the hires of Aligo and Novak as well for Mel Tucker.
Sure. So starting with Hazleton, I didn't even know who he was prior to yesterday. You know, obviously, when you see as many people as we did on Twitter yesterday talking about what a great hire it was, and people that are Kansas State fans being upset to see Hazleton be moving on potentially. And then you see the strides that their defense took under him, the strides that Wyoming's defense took under him, and then whoever he coached at the D2 level, I can't remember prior to that. But basically everywhere this guy is gone, his defenses have overnight gotten tremendously better. And that's really exciting when you consider, you know, what Michigan State has been defensively, you know, under Mark D'Antonio for almost 15 years now, that he's going to have talented players to work with, you know, with guys that Mel Tucker's staff are going to be able to bring in, and it's going to be exciting to see how he can, you know, kind of grow that defense and get it back to what it was, hopefully, you know, what it was under Mark D'Antonio 7 or 8, even 3, 4, 5 years ago. And then, you know, the other two hirings as well. The one I have familiarity with is, as you mentioned, the former strength and conditioning coach from IMG Academy. Obviously, it's not something that you're screaming for Ken Manny, a guy like Ken Manny, to retire. But I think most of us can agree it was probably time for him to move on, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, to bring in a guy from...
And also, I want to say that Mel Tucker did want Coach Manny to come back.
Yeah.
Mel Tucker reached out and said, hey, Ken, we would love to have you. But sure. He said it was time. I saw an interview with WLNS-TV6's own Audrey Dahlgren, and she got a chance to sit down with Ken. We're actually in the works of having Ken on the show as well. But Audrey asked him, you know, why he wanted to step down. He says, you know what, I just want to spend time with my family. He says that I've spent so much time away from my wife, I have to figure out how to date her again. So that's what I'm working on now. So, yeah.
That's nice. No, but you know what? I mean, he was an outstanding strength and conditioning coach, so I understand Mel Tucker wanting him back if he was interested. But, you know, at this point in time, there's nothing wrong with, I think, moving forward and going in a new direction in that way. So I'm not, you know, tremendously upset about him moving on, even though he was obviously a very good strength and conditioning coach. I'm excited for, you know, just kind of the doors this could open up for Michigan State, the idea that players from a prestigious program like IMG are going to have connections with, you know, the current strength and conditioning coach at Michigan State, even though that's not a program or that's not a position that recruits a lot, obviously, strength and conditioning. But, you know, it'll still open up windows, I think, for Michigan State to kind of get into that Florida pipeline and hopefully be able to get some good players out of that school.
Exactly. I mean, when you have a connection there, I mean, just having a connection there, like, you know, Coach Novak, I mean, who can possibly get Mel Tucker and a few coaches on his staff down there to talk to some of these guys, you know, just at least taking a shot, you know what I mean, to see if you can land some big fish. I like it a lot. So, definitely. All right, your thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527, as we come up on the home stretch of today's current sports. Well, tomorrow night is going to be a pretty big game. I think calling it pretty big is an understatement. This is the most important game of the Michigan State men's basketball season thus far, as we have just three games left in the Spartans' year. 8 p.m. tomorrow night at the Xfinity Center in College Park, Maryland. Michigan State needing this win if they want to at least have some kind of hope of at least winning a share of the Big Ten title. With a Maryland win, they will clinch at least a share of the Big Ten championship tomorrow night. And I know you're still trying to get over what happened against Minnesota, Maryland and Minnesota. And didn't you just kind of have the feeling, though? I mean, it's Minnesota. You know, even though Minnesota had a great game, they had to lead at halftime. But it's still Minnesota. You had a feeling that there was going to be some major comeback that the Golden Gophers were not going to be able to stave off. And Maryland was going to pull out that game somehow, some way. That's at least what my subconscious was telling me watching that game earlier this week. So with that being said, you know, that Minnesota win over Maryland, if it would have happened, would have tremendously helped Michigan State. And we would have been looking at two teams, you know, fighting for a league title, you know, tomorrow night. But Michigan State is going to need some help in addition to possibly getting a win tomorrow night. This will not be easy. Michigan State leads the all-time series 9-6, though the Terps won, as I mentioned in the headliners, 67-60 on the 15th of this month at the Breslin Center. This is a game, again, we're knocking on the door of March now. Just around the corner, we are going to be talking about the Big Ten tournament and then the Big Dance and seedings and so on and so forth. This is a great warm-up for the postseason, because you better believe that atmosphere is going to be raucous. It's going to be insane. And you're playing with a championship on the line here. So how you deal with all of that energy is going to prep Michigan State for how it's going to be when the postseason approaches. And it's going to tell me this game tomorrow night is going to tell me and every Michigan State fan out there a lot about where your team is mentally. Can they deal with this kind of challenge? Because, you know, like the point I made earlier this week, you can't pack up the Izzone and just, you know, unpack them on the road and boom, you got your energy there. When you go into a hostile environment and come tourney time, where it's a neutral setting, you know, the other team's fans may outweigh yours. I don't know. I'm not trying to call out Spartan Nation here, but you get my point here. You got to be able to play in environments where the crowd isn't 99.9% pro Michigan State like it is at the Breslin Center, because that's not how tourney time goes. How you deal with different environments, how you deal with pressure when things are on the line, how you deal with one-game eliminations, you got to treat that like this. And you better believe that Tom Izzo is telling his team that this is a preview of what's to come. Let's handle this the right way. You know, he's probably pumping in. I can see Tom Izzo now in practice this week, pumping in sound to try and get his players accustomed to that raucous environment that's going to be the Xfinity Center tomorrow night. Because it's going to be loud. It is going to be crazy. And we'll learn a lot about this team. You know, we've seen some encouraging things. You know, I keep mentioning how we're seeing some players mature. I have been very impressed with how well Rocket Watts is playing right now. I mean, he was absolutely fantastic against Iowa and really was the guy that kept them afloat when Iowa tried to pull away in that first half. His efficiency kept that game close, and then when others started to come along, Michigan State was able to pull that game out. Not to mention, this is a big thing as well, Xavier Tillman cannot get into early foul trouble. You know, I just think to myself, Jack, you know, what Luka Garza would have finished with if Xavier Tillman didn't get basically two fouls at the beginning tip of that game against Iowa, because he was brilliant defensively. It still blows my mind that Xavier Tillman's name was not in the top 10 list for defensive players this year in college basketball, but Xavier Simpson's was. Jeff Jackson Simpson's was. I don't get that. but hey, that's neither here nor there. Just wanted to make that point. Tillman cannot get into early foul trouble. He's got to be out there on the court. They will need him. Cassius Winston is going to be Cassius Winston. But you can't have the first half Cassius Winston that you got against Iowa. He's got to be in tune from tip. At the end of the day, though, Jack, I hate to say it, because I've seen no consistency from this Michigan State men's basketball team this year, and I still believe that they are trying to figure things out, even though we are very close, very, very close away from the postseason. I am going with Maryland to win this game tomorrow night. I don't know what the line is. I don't think we even had that in our headliners, but I just think, you know, in that environment, Michigan State on the road, you don't know what team you're going to get. The inconsistencies are going to catch up with Michigan State tomorrow night. I hope I'm wrong. But I think Maryland is going to pour this game out at home and clinch that share of the Big Ten title. It is going to take some great performances other than Winston and Tillman tomorrow night. And you know, hopefully we do see it, and hopefully I'm wrong, but I'm going with Maryland to win that game.
Interesting. So right now the line I'm seeing, is this right? I'm seeing that Michigan State is a 7-point favorite in tomorrow's matchup.
Are they?
That's incredible. Wait, so I need to make sure that this is tomorrow's game and not the original. And not the game. Oh, this is the game from a couple weeks ago. That makes way more sense.
I don't see a line right now. ESPN does not have a line listed.
Okay, so here's what screwed me up here. Was the article at the top says February 15th, so 2 weeks ago. And that was what stuck out to me, because this is the same line from 2 weeks ago. Okay. And then the ad right below it was for a betting website for a line on a hockey game that's tonight. It messed me up thinking that was the line for today's game. Give me one sec here. Let me pull up Vegas Insider and
I'm looking at Bovada Sportsbook, and they don't have. Well, you know what? Let's look it up right now. Let's hit our final break. Come back. Put a bow on today's show. We'll see if we can find a line for this game. But I hope I'm wrong. Michigan State, if they get that win tomorrow night, They will grow up some more. It will be huge. It's going to be quite the environment and I believe quite the game tomorrow night. We'll be right back to put a bow on this week's current sports. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. There is no line on the Michigan State and Maryland game right now. At least that's what Jack and I are seeing, or not seeing, I should say, when it comes to that game. But, in that first meeting 2 weeks ago, you know, Maryland's Anthony Cohen and also Jalen Smith, they were the best two players on the court. You know, Cohen came up huge in crunch time, huge three-pointer. And Smith, he showed why he's likely going to be an NBA first-round draft pick. He's got a real, just a real smooth game, and it's very versatile. So, you know, Cohen and Smith, you cannot allow them to go off. And, excuse me, Michigan State right now has been playing amazing defense, arguably the best defense this past week and a half in the nation. So we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens. But with just 90 seconds left here in the hour, Reflection Friday, you know, I want to give a big shout-out to a young man that I have to check out pretty soon here. Imani Bates is just going off this year for Ipsy's Lincoln High School. I saw earlier this week that, I mean, this dude, you know, he put up just 2 points in the first quarter and then exploded for 20 points in the second to help Lincoln pull away from Jackson en route to a 67-44 win. That was actually last night. And he outscored Jackson. Like, he had, like, you know, like I said, 21 points in that first half. Jackson had 19 as a team. I mean, this kid is special. So I just wanted to say, if you haven't seen Imani Bates, check him out, like, ASAP. Anything, Jack, as we reflect on the week, anything that you want to reflect on, do?
How impressed I am with how well Mel Tucker's staff and seemingly the pretty smart hires he's made so late in the cycle, been able to put a pretty good staff together. I'm really happy with that.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I want to say that Tom Brady's gone. I don't think he's going to be your quarterback for the New England Patriots next year. We'll talk about that on Monday and so much more. Enjoy the game tomorrow night and be easy, people.